Okay, hi, I'm Christina. I'm a sex and love addict. Thank you, Jenny, for asking me to be here. It's such an honor, and welcome all the newcomers. This program is very, very near and dear to my heart. It's 13 years and 8 months that I've been in this program. So in November, I'll be celebrating 14 years. I have served on the intergroup with some of you. I have served on the board of trustees with some of you. I know people from the early days of my meetings. This is an extraordinary program. I remember speaking on panels with some of you guys in workshops at St. Basil's when it was in person. So this is really, really an honor. I've done outreach with some of you. Please stay in this program. If you are new and you don't know what is going on and you don't know you know what from your elbow right now because of how insidious this disease is. This disease makes alcoholism look like a carnival. I remember going into AA meetings. I'm in the beverage program too. And it just felt like a party. Everyone's like, ha, 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 oh, our drug use and our alcoholism and everyone's friends and everyone's flirting. And at the end of the meeting, you know, you get all these numbers and the disease is there. Do you know what I mean? The sex and love addiction disease, the disease of fantasy, of intrigue, of romanticizing things that are very, very dark and take you down to the depths of living hell, where you want to die. That was me. This disease took me down to a place where I just wanted to die because of the depletion, the spiritual, emotional, and often physical depletion that being addicted to the fantasy of what I wanted versus the reality of what was in front of me brought me to the point where I was literally on my knees just begging for God to give me my power back. I had no power. And there were also times when in deep withdrawals, even before I was in program, I didn't know what a withdrawal was from a person. I didn't know that the shattering of a fantasy of what I thought would be with someone would bring me to the point of wanting to just drive off of a cliff because of how unfair. It just felt so unfair, you know? And I was a child. I was an absolute child, and I didn't know what real love was. Love was a fantasy. And I don't feel bad about that because that's how I was raised. I was raised first and foremost on fairy tales. And then I was a child of the 80s. And so all that music, oh my God, all that great new wave 80s music, which is like heartbreak and it's cuckoo ca-choo. I mean, like you listen to that stuff. I love it. I still listen to it. I feel bad. I make my kids listen to it. I'm like, we're dead. This is new wave. You need to know this. This is vintage. And, but then I hear the lyrics and I go, oh God, one day I'm going to have to explain to them that this is not the way to live. But, you know, and then my higher power, God, so just real quick about my higher power. I didn't create my higher power. My higher power created me. And I learned about who that higher power was as I progressed through the program, especially as I worked the steps. I've worked the steps twice in AA. I've worked the steps once in SLAA. I'm almost through them in Al-Anon. I still haven't gotten past step 3 and 4 in OA because that's a whole other can of worms with my food. Like, don't take my food away. But pretty much everything else has been like stripped down, examined, looked at from the point of view of the 12 steps. You know, I am powerless over these behaviors because I have an allergy of the mind and an obsession of the body. An allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. Switch that. So when the chemicals start, dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and any of these chemicals, I'm an addict through and through. If it's sugar, it's dopamine. If it's cocaine, it's dopamine. If it's cuddling with the person and they're cute and they're looking at me in the eyes and they're close, it's oxytocin. Something in my body just goes, and I want it. And I want to be altered. I want to be in an altered state. So my higher power told me, make sure you talk about pornography. And I was like, oh, I don't want to talk about pornography. But then I come in here and I hear people like self-proclaiming themselves as porn addicts. And I was like, yes, God, that's why you told me. I trust my God to the point of really, I turned my will and my life over to him as I understand him. You know, I really did. I literally gave my life to my higher power. And to the point where I had a third child that I did not want, that I did not ask for, that I did not plan for, that, I mean, I was 43 when I got pregnant, which is scientifically like 1%. So I was like, okay, God, I guess you want me to have a third child. That's the point of surrender that I'm at. I'm also married. That's higher power, because I don't know, like when I started this program almost 14 years ago, oh, we wanted to be married and I wanted a plus one. Marriage is one of the most difficult, frustrating, annoying experiences. Those of you that are married know what I'm talking about. When I'm like cleaning someone else's like poop from a toilet and it's not mine. I have three children and a husband and I'm cleaning a toilet. You know what I mean? And it's like, this is what I signed up for. And that God's like, yeah. This is what you saw. I mean, I could hire somebody, but I don't have the money for that. So I clean all the toilets in the house. I make all the food. I make sure my husband has his colonoscopy appointment. You know what I mean? Like he's the earner and I do everything else. And it's rough. So when I first came into Salon, I thought I wanted a partner. Like I thought it was going to be like rose petals on the bed. And I thought, I mean, that's fantasy. Do you know what I mean? And he was going to uplift me and I was going to uplift him and we were going to be energetically matched and the sex was going to be amazing, because that was one of my bottom lines. I didn't want to have a partner that was like weird with sex. You know what I mean? Like I wanted everything to be perfect. And the crazy thing about life is sometimes it's packaged really perfect and it's packaged really wonderful and it's like frosting on a cake, and then you like, the frosting's gone, and then what you have is this cake that's all mushed up and messed up and you've eaten too much of it and you want to puke. And what do you do then? Where do you go then? You know, there is no human being. There is no substance, like there is no drug that is capable for me of filling the God-shaped hole that only God can fill. And I had to work the 12 steps to get to a point where I even had an inkling of what that God thing was, because I didn't know. The best I could do was a butterfly. That was what my God was when I was first in this program. It was a butterfly. Because every time I really, really wanted to die, like really wanted to die, because I'm also a debtor, and I would have money issues and I'd have no money. And the only person I could go to for money was my narcissistic borderline personality mother, who would then like basically eviscerate me for being such a mess up. I'd have to ask her for money. And if I didn't ask her for money, then I had my sanity. But if I didn't ask her for money, then I didn't know what to do. And I wanted to die because I thought, well, if I die, then I don't have to have these problems anymore. And a big monarch butterfly landed on the bush next to me. And I went, okay. Is this God? Cut to 2020 when I actually got baptized, which is something I would never have done, you guys. Never, never, never. I was like a new age occultist, like, you know, I don't know what I was doing in high school, I was all over the place. I would never have gotten baptized. I would have been so uncomfortable with this behind me. I would have been like, no. But I got baptized, and lo and behold, I come out of the water, and what do you think comes directly to me? A monarch butterfly. Literally came directly to me and followed me through the seats as I was going to my family. I broke down and started crying because it was my 9th step to my higher power. I was like, I'm sorry, I hated you. Please forgive me. Forgive me for being so at odds with you, for, you know. So then the fantasy of having that higher power was like destroyed, because you realize once you are in a faith like that, there's a lot you have to come to terms with in yourself. There's a lot you have to acknowledge about the truth of the darkness that was inside of me, that I did not want to come out to the light. I didn't want to admit these things. This is all 4th step, 5th step, 6th step, 7th step, right? And my defects of character, my selfishness, my abusiveness, my judgmental, critical, the hate that was inside of me, the resentments that was inside of me. Like, I'm a nice person when you're nice to me, but when you're not nice to me, back up, you know, like I will crush you. And it's not always warranted. Like sometimes you didn't really do the thing that I think you did in my head. That's dangerous, because my head, the disease gets in my head and warps the narrative. So where higher power told me to talk about pornography was because I was talking to a sponsee about intimacy issues. Because now that I'm in a marriage, it'll be 7 years in January, we talk about intimacy. I have sponsees that are married or in long-term relationships, and we talk about sex. And intimate sex with the partner that you've been with for years and years, especially after 3 children, okay, is very different than the fantasy that they present to you on the internet and on in movies and what it used to look like. Did I used to have encounters like that? Five? Did I used to have a fantasy world, a rich fantasy world that often manifested in reality in real life? Yes. And it was often when I was cheating on a partner. It was often having encounters that were clandestine. It was having multiple emotional and often physical liaisons with people that somehow just did it for me better than my partner, because my partner was frustrating me, because partners are frustrating, because when you're with a person for that long, your real self comes out, their real self comes out, and suddenly you clash and they say something mean or they don't do something that you expected them to do that you actually asked them to do maybe several times and they forgot because people are imperfect. And I have the kind of husband where it's like so annoying. He's kind of like a normie. I mean, he's definitely not normal in a lot of areas, but where it comes to addiction and the type of catastrophic kinds of behaviors that I'm responsible for, he doesn't really have those, you know? So it's frustrating. I can't like trauma bond with him about the stuff that we've done. You know, he's never cheated on a partner. He's been cheated on so many times. He's never like, you know, he's never gone to jail. It's so frustrating. I used to date like drug dealers. I used to date people that had like really dark pasts and we could trauma bond. He's not like that. He's really a lovely person, and I feel really bad sometimes that I take my anger out on him. I can't believe we're still married. I can't believe what a loving, forgiving heart he has for me. But that's God. He has a very strong relationship with God. And now I have a strong relationship with God. And so you know who keeps our relationship together? It's God. God in him and God in me, it's the forgiveness. It's the grace. We talk about pornography. He used to watch a lot of pornography before he met me. He went into this hole where he was single, he was angry, he was jaded, he was done. He'd been hurt so bad by the last woman that he'd been with. I mean, we're talking 9 years before he met me, that he was just in this cycle of just pornography and masturbation every day, every day, every day, right? And my relationship with pornography is that, like, I remember seeing it for the first time when I was 15 and being, I was shown it by my classmates. Like, we were like drama kids. You know how drama kids are. We're all like freaky. And I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh, like it was cool. You know, I'd only had stuff in books. I'd only read like the erotic portions of books before because I was a book nerd, and even that stuff really, like, you know, titillated and stimulated those pleasure centers, those dopamine centers. And since I was already an addict, because I believe we're born addicts, that just led to the visual stuff being like, you know, like, wow. And boy, the reality doesn't live up to that. It really doesn't. And I had this relationship to that where I wanted to be sex positive. I wanted to be body positive. I didn't want to judge anybody that was in that, to the point where I actually worked for, at the time it was Christy Hefner's, company. I think it was called Spice Channel. Sorry to like trigger anybody, but I was a production assistant for these girls, and these were sex workers. And I was like their runner. I was like their little like gopher. And I tried to treat them with respect. I tried to treat them with, but at the same time I was in this world, like I would get vodka and I would pour it into their drink so that they could do the job that they needed to do, because they couldn't do it sober. They couldn't put themselves through what they were putting themselves through in a sober mind and a sober body. They had to be altered. And the whole thing now, looking back on it, while I was working for this company, this that put out content, and this was back in like 1999, okay, this was a long time ago. The darkness that was surrounded by that industry and the lack of real love and the lack of real connection, and what the purpose of that stuff is to separate us from the real innate intimacy that we were born with, to be with the person, to be vulnerable, to have a sexual relationship with a person. That stuff completely switches our brains around. And so we have these expectations for people, for the performance, for the look of the body, all of that. It's not real. And you can't, I can't imagine having those kinds of expectations on my husband. I can't imagine my husband having those expectations on me to have my body look like that without surgical augmentation, to have had 3 children and still look like that. Do you know how hard that is? Like, we would have no marriage. And if he wasn't the man that he is, he would have dumped me a long time ago and gotten someone that was younger and thinner and sexier to fulfill some need in him that wasn't really going to fulfill his need. So now we have 3 children. And if we stay together, and I'll wrap up, if we stay together and we give them an environment that both of us didn't have, he's from a broken home and I'm from a super dysfunctional family, we might actually give these kids a chance to have 2 parents that are sober-minded, that are God-loving, that give them what they need so that they don't have to sit in a room like us and talk about the trauma bond that happened and all of the crazy stuff we went through. So I'm excited to hear from you guys. I'm going to stop the share now. And I just want to tell you, thank you so much for letting me be honest, letting me have my higher power speak through me to you. And I pray that you hear him, not me, because it's not me. It's my higher power speaking to you. Thank you.